Religions tell us who we are and what we need to be. Title of an article in yesterday's religion page in the Times. And in it, Jonathan Sacks, the chief rabbi, says this: religion is an answer to a set of questions that science cannot answer, perhaps cannot even understand. Who am I? Why am I here? Where do I belong? Of what story am I a part? How am I connected to those who came before me? How then shall I live? Today's feast day, the Feast of All Saints, answers at least two of those questions. Of what story am I a part? How am I connected to those who came before me? And the Beatitudes in the Gospel answer the last question. How then shall I live? Some years back there was a book published, a little paperback, called The Misery of Christianity. The Misery of Christianity. And it attempted to put together all the reasons why being a Christian would make you miserable. And they took special notice of the Beatitudes as a way of being miserable. The first one, perhaps the most understood of all the Beatitudes: happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, is the one most misunderstood, because Jesus seems to be telling the poor that they have reason to be happy. But this, of course, is completely wrong. He is not talking about physical poverty, but about being poor in spirit. And very simply, he is saying, happy the person who knows his or her need of God. If you know your need of God, you will be open to life. You will be receptive. You will feel an emptiness that nothing else can fill. That is what being poor in spirit means. Happy are those who have an openness to life, an openness to God, and are able to receive. The story from the East tells of a young man. He is a seeker after happiness and wisdom. He comes to the great master and asks for truth and wisdom. And the young man rambles on about the books he has read, the courses he has taken, the talks he has listened to, and goes on at great length about his spiritual journey up to this point, and about all his pet ideas about religion. And the master listens silently, and again begins to pour a cup of tea. He pours and pours, and when the cup is full, he continues to pour. And the student eventually notices, stops his talking in his monologue, and says, stop pouring, the cup is full. And the master says, yes, and so are you. How can I possibly teach you anything? The first beatitude reflects that idea that as long as we are filled with ourselves, we can go no further. Being poor in spirit means being open to God, able to receive whatever God is offering us at this moment. If you come to him empty, you will be filled. And coming to God empty means being ready to listen quietly from the words that come from the depths of our being, where God has made his home. And the time that we spend in prayer can very easily be turned into a time of listening, of attending to God, of being quiet. And anybody can do it. What Jesus is inviting us constantly is to a greater closeness to himself, to a greater listening in our hearts. And perhaps many of us have been brought up to believe that being a good Christian means trying to do good, that God is always inviting us to increase our efforts to do good things for him and for others, to try to live a better life. But maybe the Beatitudes are pointing another way. They're not about doing, but about being. And that is the most important thing, not what we do, but what we are. And we find out who we are by listening to God. Not easy to listen. We tend, don't we, to tell Jesus what we want him to do for us or what we are planning to do for him. And listening to the word that Jesus speaks to us makes us a bit uneasy at times. Our doubts about ourselves, our insecurities get between us and him, and they make us run away from ourselves and lose trust in that inner voice. Did you notice that at the start of the gospel, Jesus led his disciples up the hill? One sees better from the higher ground. Things don't get in the way. And the place where we see better, where we can be open and receive the inner voice, is a quiet spot where we can be alone with Jesus. Even for a few minutes a day makes an amazing difference to our lives, in our bedroom, in the bathroom. And we will be able to hear what Jesus is inviting us, not to wear ourselves out in doing good, but allowing ourselves to be. Somebody who was here recently for a few days' retreat said to me at the end of it, "I have found the place where I can hear with my ears and can see with my eyes." And she was convinced that before she began her retreat, she wasn't really seeing with her eyes, wasn't really hearing with her ears. She had discovered what it is to come to God open and empty and able to receive from him. Augustine has these wonderful words which remind us of the need to spend a little time in each day in quietness. "It is difficult," he writes, "in a crowd to see Christ. It is difficult in a crowd to see Christ. Our soul needs quietness. In quietness, if we are attentive, God allows himself to be seen." And that's what blessed of the pure heart means. Nothing to do with chastity, as it often is interpreted, but being able to listen, being able to be quiet. God allows himself to be seen if we are attentive. In the crowd we find noise. In the silence we find God. In the crowd we find noise. In the silence we find God.